The next case on this morning's call is number 04-2255, Worldwide Street Preachers Fellowship et al. Against Pearson et al. Peterson et al.
May it please the court. My name is Len Brown, and I represent the Worldwide Street Preachers Fellowship and a number of their members in this appeal. This case is about the city of Indianapolis attempting to shut down free speech on a public sidewalk that lines a parade that goes through the downtown section of Indianapolis.
And we're here on appeal from the preliminary injunction proceeding, is that right?
Your Honor, that's correct. We're here on appeal from an injunctive proceeding that was held in the Southern District of Indiana. In that proceeding, the street preachers sought to enjoin the city of Indianapolis from preventing their literature distribution along the sidewalks, from preventing their display of banners along the sidewalks, and from prohibiting their stationary as opposed to ambulatory preaching along
and
the sidewalks.
And when was the parade?
Your Honor, the parade was in May of 2004.
But why isn't this proceeding at this point moot?
Your Honor, it's not moot for a couple of reasons. The situation has been going on for some time. In 2003, the street preachers were denied the ability to display their banners, to hand out literature, and were ultimately arrested on the sidewalks of Indianapolis. Again, in 2004, the city took the position that they would remove the street preachers under threat of arrest for doing the same activities, for stationary preaching, for displaying their banners, and for handing out literature. So it's certainly capable of repetition and evading review because of the amount of time.
Why would it evade review? It didn't evade review this last time.
Your Honor, it hasn't review at this level, Your Honor. It's still an ongoing issue.
The court did take action in this case, did it not?
Your Honor, that's correct. The court granted in part the injunction that the street preachers sought and allowed them to hand out literature on the sidewalks, but prohibited them from displaying their banners and from stationary preaching. The court's error was not enjoining the city from allowing the street preachers to display their banners or from their stationary preaching as opposed to the ambulatory preaching. The festival is a large event. It draws approximately 250,000 people each year, and it's been going on for the past 48 years.
Well, we granted partial relief, in other words, and you're not happy with the relief that this court granted?
Your Honor, that was interim relief prior to the briefing of all the issues. That's correct. No, Your Honor, we're not. We're thankful that the court did look at it in the time period right before the parade occurred. However, the issues dealing with Hurley were not the true kernel of what's at issue here. Hurley is certainly applicable to support the street preacher's position. They're not attempting to use their banners or carry their banners in the parade.
Well, whether you appreciate or don't appreciate what we did for you on May 27, 2004, we certainly could have heard, if we had chosen, as a matter of discretion, this entire appeal at that point and granted relief, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So this isn't really capable of repetition yet evading review. The court did not hear the plenary appeal, but it certainly could have on May 27th and could have rendered a judgment prior to the parade. If you have another problem, 2005, with whatever facts do emerge from that proceeding, why can't we see you next May?
Your Honor, I don't think it would be a practical use of judicial resources, for one thing, because we have a demonstrated history of what is going on in the city of Indianapolis, and it's unnecessary to go and repeat the entire process again with stating our intentions of going to the parade, seeking an injunction again, and having it come up before the court, most likely at a very short period of time.
This case is still actually pending in the district court, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Honor. There is a section of the case that has not been dealt with yet. and that's dealing with the arrest that occurred in 2003.
Why can't you amend your pleadings and talk about next year's problem before the district court and have it all come up?
Yeah, I don't believe it's necessary because the record at this point is well developed. The city and the street preachers have stipulated to enough facts for this court to render a determination whether the district court was inappropriately failed to grant an injunction for the issue of signs and for the issue of stationary versus ambulatory preaching. There's really no additional evidence that's necessary in order to reach the conclusion of whether the district court made an error or not in failing to grant an injunction to the street preachers.
Of course, there's always the possibility, after what we had to say last May, that you and the city will think better of this by next year and come to some agreement.
Your Honor,
there may not be any reason for us to get involved in it at this point.
Your Honor, the position that has been going on since this was filed in November of 2003 and trying to get something worked out has not been successful, as been demonstrated by the record. We've been unable to reach any agreement. The consistent position of the city has been that they will not allow the street preachers to display their banners, to hand out their literature, or to engage in stationary preaching. It wasn't until we got a partial injunction allowing the street preachers to hand out literature that there was any kind of relief given.
This would be basically then an advisory opinion as to how the parties ought to proceed for the 2005 frame, wouldn't it?
No, Your Honor, it wouldn't be advisory in the sense that the positions of the parties have never changed. In the complaint of the street preachers, they've alleged that they've been chilled in their efforts to do this in 2003. They fear that they will be chilled in their ability to do this in the future, which would include 2004 and 2005. There's no reason to send it back to the district court and get the same opinion that we've already got before the court
today.
What
sort of relief did you ask for in your complaint in the district court?
Your Honor, we asked for the same relief we're asking for now, that a declaratory relief and a permanent injunction and a preliminary injunction to prohibit the city from displaying banners, from prohibiting the street preachers from displaying banners, distributing literature, and engaging in preaching along the public sidewalks that line the parade of line the streets of the Indy 500 parade.
If you go back to Indianapolis, roll up your sleeves, and get to work with Judge Tinder down there, you can get this, your declaratory judgment, your permanent injunction, the whole nine yards, right, by the time this parade next, 2005, right?
Your Honor, Judge Tinder found that there's no likelihood of success on the merits for the plaintiff's claim for the ability to display banners on the public sidewalk and to engage in stationary preaching on the public sidewalk. We don't have a basis for seeking a permanent injunction out of the preliminary injunction other than for the distribution of literature. And the facts are as developed as the parties have been able to make them for Judge Tinder to render this decision based on the number of stipulations that's included as entry 25 in the record, that it's unnecessary to send it back to Judge Tinder to continue the process of litigating it. There are only two issues that the court needs to determine today. The first is whether the street preachers should be permitted to hold signs along a public sidewalk that lines the parade route through downtown Indianapolis, and second, whether they should be able to preach in a stationary location. The 250,000 people that come and watch the Indianapolis parade, that's a precursor to the Indy 500 auto race, stream in from all sides of the parade route. There is no defined entrance. There's no defined exit for the parade. It's not a ticketed event, and individuals do not have to pay money to go and watch the parade. In fact, businesses are permitted to be open along the parade route. The street preachers and the Street Preachers Fellowship and their members travel to different parts of the country and go to areas where large crowds gather in order to proclaim their message through using scriptural signs and banners, through preaching and through handing out religious literature and engaging individuals in conversation. The banners, which is the first issue the court needs to consider, are scripture-based banners that have been laid out in the complaint with statements on them such as Jesus can set the vilest sinner clean and the wages of sin is death. The district court seemed to have a problem with some kind of message muddling that could be occurring through the message that the street preachers are putting out. However, given the message that's contained on these banners, it's difficult to imagine how that message could be confused or muddled when the street preachers are not seeking to march as a specific unit under Hurley in the parade, but merely to gather along the parade route. There's two things that seem to have given the district court problems as well with the banners. The first is the banner's ability to restrict the view of individuals who are watching the parade, and second is a safety interest in the banners. There is no tangible evidence of anything in the record that was presented at the hearing or through affidavit or otherwise that demonstrates that the banners present any more of a safety interest in Indianapolis than the raising of an umbrella would in a crowd of people that are gathered to watch the parade. And certainly banning all the banners is not a narrowly tailored resolution to a problem that may be dealing with safety. The city of Indianapolis has no ordinance in place that says what the banners need to be made of, how large the banners could be, or the number of banners that could be displayed. So there was no argument from a position that an ordinance is unconstitutionally being enforced with respect to the display of banners. The safety concerns that the court below had and the visibility concerns could certainly be handled by merely requiring the street preachers to furl their banners as they marched or as they walked through a crowded area and then unfurl them once they've gotten into a position where they'd like to display them. And the issue with dealing with restrictions on views could certainly be handled by having the banners in a location toward the back of a crowd, or if somebody complained about the banners, asking the preachers to move to a different location. Certainly not banning them is not a narrowly tailored resolution. The same with the same analysis applies to the stationary versus the ambulatory preaching. The city has conceded.
Now you're casting that in pretty black and white terms, stationary versus ambulatory, but Judge Tinder's opinion discusses all sorts of gray areas and variations on this. He starts out by saying it is agreed the plaintiffs will not be prevented from preaching while moving about the sidewalks and so forth. And later on he says the plaintiffs claim they only wish to preach at locations where the parade is yet to pass by, or at locations where it has passed. Now, what exactly are you asking for that you think the police will disturb you in the exercise of?
Your Honor, we're asking to be able to stand on the sidewalks in a similar manner that the judge crafted a remedy for the distribution of literature in such a way that they do not impede any pedestrian traffic that's going through. I believe Judge Tinder also said that they could go to a remote area of the parade and preach as well without the likelihood of being arrested, but that's not an ample alternative for what the street preachers are trying to do when they are preaching.
Well, this strikes me as something that ought to be negotiated out. I mean, there are all sorts of variations on a theme here. I don't know that you're going to stand on for a black and white solution to this problem, a statement that you can engage in stationary preaching, whatever that is.
Your Honor, in stationary preaching, it's merely being able to stand in one spot and speak. That's all the street preachers are asking for, and they don't want to do it while the parade is passing by, so any danger of message muddling in that situation would not be appropriate. And they don't want to do it in such a way that they would impede the flow of pedestrian traffic, but here they're the only ones singled out from being able to stand in one spot.
Has anybody been arrested for preaching when the parade was not going by?
Your Honor, in 2003, the parade had begun to pass by when the individuals were preaching. So, no, Your Honor, it's only been the threat of arrest in 2004 that has prompted us to seek this kind of relief for the preaching.
Your Honor, would it be a benefit to you if you could preach when at times when the parade was not passing by?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't.
I say, would you regard that as a benefit to be allowed to preach when the parade was not passing by?
Well, yes, Your Honor. Our clients are seeking to preach while the parade is passing by. They don't believe they can compete with the noise of the parade, and their desire is to preach to the crowds that are coming into the parade area or leaving the parade area, and then when the parade is passing by, to display their banners on the public sidewalks. Now, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. We'll hear now from Ms. Woods.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Shalise Woods, and I represent the defendants appellees. I first would like to speak to the mootness question that was raised. Certainly, the city did not brief that issue. It did consider that issue heavily both before briefing and since that time, and made the decision not to address the issue, which, although it may have been a strategic mistake, I would note that mootness is a case or controversy requirement. Certainly, if this court determines that, in light of the fact that the parade has already occurred, and in light of the fact that there's no evidence in the record that the street preachers have sought permission to participate in the 2005 parade, then the city would welcome a dismissal of the appeal on that point, certainly. As to the merits of the appeal, this case is essentially about competing First Amendment interests, the interests of the street preachers, the interests of the 500 Festival Committee, and the interests of those citizens who wish to attend the parade and participate in the parade event. In denying the street preacher's motion for preliminary injunction, Judge Tinder properly weighed those competing First Amendment interests and denied their motion in part. First, the district court properly determined that the city should not be enjoined from prohibiting the plaintiffs to carry signs and banners within the parade boundaries, particularly where the street preachers sought to carry signs and banners without limitation. There was no evidence before the district court about the size of the signs and banners that the street preachers sought to carry in the 04 parade. They sought to carry those without limitation. So the district court looked at the signs and banners that they sought to carry in the 03 parade and noted in its findings that those signs were 3 feet by 4 feet. They were on canvas material, and they were placed on wooden rods so that they could be hoisted above the plaintiff's head. The district court properly noted that those signs would not only run the potential of impeding the attendees' view of the parade, but also raise public safety concerns. Second, the district court properly determined that the city should not be enjoined from applying public safety laws to attendees' actions at the parade. Again, this is what the street preachers were seeking before the district court. They were seeking an order that enjoined the city entirely from applying the disorderly conduct statute or various pedestrian traffic flow ordinances to their actions at the parade. The district court looked at the prior arrest, examined that arrest, and determined that the arrests were not made without legitimate concern for public safety and without legitimate concern for protecting the 500 Festival's own First Amendment rights in holding the parade. The district court also noted, as plaintiffs concede, that the plaintiffs were allowed to preach for approximately an hour within the parade boundaries, as long as they were not impeding the flow of traffic. They were permitted to go about their activities as they wished. It was only when the street preachers reached a very congested portion of the parade route, which was along Monument Circle in downtown Indianapolis, and they were standing between the bleachers, which are sit on the sidewalks where the attendees sit to watch the parade, they were standing between those bleachers and the parade as it was passing by. At that point, they were asked to leave. When they refused to do so, they were arrested. So the district court looked at all of those actions and properly determined that there could be a scenario at the 04 parade similarly, and the court was unwilling to enjoin the city from applying public safety laws in that if those circumstances arose again. The crux of the street preacher's claim here is that the city's policy of allowing private actors, in this case the 500 Festival, to obtain use of public property for a limited time period for an event is unconstitutional because it impedes their own First Amendment rights. Relying on the Hurley case, also the Sistrunk and Diner and Gaston cases from the 3rd, 6th, and 4th Circuits, it's clear that when an event holder obtains a permit from a municipality to use public space for a limited time period, that permit holder has the right to determine the content of their message, and that permit holder has the right to exclude others from the event if if it so chooses, particularly where those attending the event would either interfere with or impede the message of the event holder. In this case, the plaintiffs have argued that their actions fall outside of these concepts because certainly the attendees would not confuse their message with the parade's message. That's not really the point. It goes beyond that. Would their message interfere with the parade's ability to carry out its own message? Certainly where the street preachers wish to stand between those who are attending the parade, preach, hold large signs and banners while the parade is going by, that runs the risk of interfering with the 500 Festival's message.
You don't object to preaching when the parade is not passing by, is that correct?
That's correct.
They say that's the only time they want to preach. I'm a little baffled by that combination.
Well, I think it was clear before the district court and again in these briefs that the street preachers wish to compete for the same audience that the 500 Festival does. This is a large-scale event. 250,000 people are gathered. It is a prime opportunity for those who have a message to talk about that message. The point is, it's also the right of the 500 Festival to exclude those people to the extent that they're going to interfere with the message, even based on the content of their speech. Secondly, the district court's order also properly addressed the time, place, and the content-neutral nature of the permitting system here and the fact that these restrictions are valid time, place, and manner restrictions. Keep in mind that the street preachers did not seek a license to engage in the activity in these activities during the parade, nor did the street preachers seek permission from the 500 Festival to engage in these activities during the parade. Moreover, the street preachers conceded and continue to concede that the city's permitting system is content neutral. They presented no evidence before the district court that certain groups are allowed to engage in these activities and certain groups are not. And certainly the evidence is, and this was a fact that was stipulated to, that another group was asked to leave the parade boundaries on this particular day for attempting to engage in the same activities, carrying signs and leafletting. In short, the district court weighed all of these competing First Amendment interests. I think it's clear from Hurley and its progeny that the permit holder has its own First Amendment right here that cannot be trumped by the street preacher's rights. And if the court has no further questions, I'm happy to finish early. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. Your Honor, the street preachers do not contest the permitting scheme. This is not about the permit. The permit itself only extends 50 feet dealing with vendors from the streets that are being marched on. The street preachers, a fact that was left out of the district court's decision but was stipulated to by both parties, that the street preachers are not engaging in commercial speech or commercial activities. Secondly, to the proposition that a permit holder can exclude anyone at once from the sidewalks of a parade, it's certainly not true based on Mahoney versus Babbitt or Sistrunk that the city is relying on. In fact, in Sistrunk, the Sixth Circuit said participating in a rally is akin to marching in a parade and distinguished Hurley on those grounds. Thank you, Your Honor.
Our thanks to both Mr. Brown and Ms. Woods for their fine presentations. The case will be taken under advisement.